This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, presented by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Let me tell you, folks, that music was really loud in the studio. Tim Fitzgerald, Cole Carmody, Zach Carlson right here in the GPC studio, known as the Cats and Dogs studio. And that is across town, Ryan Gilbert, who doesn't love us anymore, has decided he's never going to visit again.
Never.
And the dogs are in here too, but there's no studio cam today because he has the cam that should be the studio cam. And now I'm short a cam, which is on the way. It's very confusing. We're sponsored by the Fridge Wholesale Liquor. And make sure whenever you're in Manhattan, you see, we even got their logo down there now. Their logo is on the screen. Make sure you check out the Fridge whenever you come to town. They're wonderful people. You know, there's a lot of liquor stores, and I just had an interaction with another business. Not a liquor store, just another business. I'll mention them in a second. And it made me realize that for me, it's not just about going in the store and having the selection and what I need. It's about the people and the service and what you get. And that is so important to everything the Fridge is about. Make sure you check out the Fridge whenever you come to town. They've got all your party needs, whether it's alcohol, beer, wine, champagne, which is the accurate way of saying it, and anything your party needs. And that includes Ryan Gilbert. You can rent Ryan Gilbert at the Fridge. Hourly rates start at a dollar.
A dollar?
Well,
they tried, a dollar?
They tried $1.50 and nobody would pay it. So there we are.
All right.
Also, I'm wearing a shirt, and Colesy Wolesy, he's over there wearing our new 24/7 gear. That's not what that's not the shirt I'm talking about, Ryan Gilbert. Put your boobie down. Thank you. but these are all new gear. We're going to talk about a lot of this, but they didn't pay for this. I just want to say that Honor Embroidery in Junction City is the bomb. They did such an incredible job, such wonderful service. It's all, you know, you don't have to be in Junction City. You can order your stuff. They can bill you online. One click, you've got it paid with your credit card. It's an amazing setup they have. Honor Embroidery, Junction City, wonderful people. Let's go on, get going with this podcast. Too many talking ad things. Questions from Wombat Station. It's Zach Carlson. Of course, these questions are from our subscribers at GoPowerCat.
We're going to do basketball in the first half. So from ContraCat, with six of the next seven games against ranked teams, Oklahoma State's the only one that is not currently. What's an appropriate expectation as this team continues to gel?
Gills, I want to hear you on this.
I'm really sorry. I heard next six games are ranked teams, correct?
Yeah, six out of seven. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The question was, I was trying to pull it up on my phone, and then here we are. So. What was the question? I heard Gills.
Okay, I'll just go. The six out of seven are on the road.
Okay.
Is that manageable? And, you know, what's a reasonable expectation? I think, you know, look, I'm just going to set my baseline here. What they're 4-1. So coming out of this stretch, there'll be 12 of the 18 games in. They'll be two-thirds in. And while it doesn't exactly get easy after this, this is clearly the teeth of the schedule. I mean, you're still going to have another game with KU and all that, but it's clearly the teeth of the schedule. And I think a baseline expectation of this would be coming out of this at 2-5. So you're 6-6. That's low. I know. I get that. But you ask reasonable. That's what I think reasonable is. This conference is brutal. And this K-State team isn't fully equipped to compete at the level it did last year. So that's my answer. You know, what's a reasonable explanation or expectation going 2-5? And then, guys, after that, anything above that puts you above 500 going into the final third, and it's candy. Folks, if they can steal one this week, it's enormous. And I don't know where that would be. Hilton Coliseum's brutal. Houston's going to be a whole new thing. We'll find out. Gills?
Yeah, I think you said it best, really. And that's not the expectation that you want to have,
right?
You know, for your program is to, oh, we only got to win two games in this stretch. But you have to be real with yourself. You have to be honest that Kansas State, probably besides that Oklahoma State game, is probably going to be underdogs, I would probably guess, in every other game in this stretch. And so you have to be real with yourself. You have to take a step back and say, okay, you know, you can't win every game, especially these games on the road. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Obviously, when you're playing some tough teams, it's really hard to win. But regardless, you have to be real with yourself. So I think, Fitz, you really did kind of just say it best.
Of course.
I don't know. I generally don't know the answer to this question, though, guys, because like I feel like we will know so much more a week from today.
Right.
And I know that's a kind of a cop-out answer because, you know, everyone always wants us to look into our crystal balls and predict the future. That's what we get paid to do. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. But I look at this team and, like, I keep telling myself, they turn the ball over too much. They don't have very good perimeter shooting. They don't do this right. They don't do this right. But they just find a way to win. And so I think that until they prove that they can't win, I'm not ready to say that, you know, the baseline expectation is that. I mean, who knows? Again, it's so hard because Ames is a tough place to play. Houston is the number four team in the country. No game is going to be easy. But I do believe that they will find a way to steal a game or two that they probably shouldn't. Now, does that mean they might drop one later on down the line? It does. But if they go 1-1 these next two games, they are right in the thick of the Big 12 conference race. And like there was the Kansas and Cincinnati game last night. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch that game. Kansas is not the Kansas that they have been. Will they be the Kansas at the end of the year? There's a good chance, but they had zero bench points. And I think that might be the team that everybody looks at as probably the favorite right now besides Houston. If K-State finds a way to go 1-1 of these next two games, there's no reason why they can't be competing for that, at least the upper half of the conference.
No, he said, get to me after this week. And I think there's some, yeah, it's cop out. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I also think, Zach, there's some reality to that, because if they go 1-1 this week or somehow 2-0, that does change that. I mean, we're talking about a stretch over here of 3+ weeks. We're talking about a longer stretch than we've seen so far mm-hmm. in conference play.
I mean, 7 games puts it past the bye week.
Right.
We're talking mid-February, where K-State's playing TCU at home as that 7th game. But you have home games against OU, home game against KU, home game against TCU, and a road game at Oklahoma State. You know, I don't think it's unreasonable to think you can win 3 out of 4 of those games. Just we've seen KU lose on the road at this conference. We've seen, you know, basically everything else. K-State's at the top, you know, at least before yesterday, tied for first at 4-1. Yes, there's some losses coming up for K-State. I think that it's easy to accept that. But I don't think that Iowa State's, you know, unbeatable. I don't think, you know, I think you look at Houston, that's one where you kind of say, you know what, hope they, you know, compete. But, you know, Houston didn't play a great game against UCF on Saturday. Very slow, you know, probably a type of game that K-State would want to play.
Right.
If K-State can hold Houston to under 70 points, you know, that's a good performance from K-State. You get Oklahoma next Tuesday. I think that's a game K-State can win. I mean, that matches up with, you know, a top 15 team like they beat in Baylor. You know, K-State's done it before. I think they can do it again there. You get Oklahoma State, should be able to take care of business, but, you know, you never know. They go to BYU, new environment again, kind of like Houston, but I don't know if BYU is the number 21 team in the country right now or in the future. So I think that, yes, this stretch of schedule looks, you know, very tough for K-State, but, you know, I think that 3-4 is probably my floor versus 2-5 over the next 7. Just I think that K-State can find a way to get that mark, but also potentially exceed it. You know, I think there's some games that, you know, we can find out about this team over the next seven games. And if they win a couple, like you said, that'll change things going forward.
What do they say in the NFL? Win your home games and split your road games. If K-State does that, they're going to be in the upper half of the Big 12.
If you do that in this conference this year, you're going to be at 12 wins.
Mm-hmm.
You got that a chance to win the league.
No, hold on. I did bad math. Backing up, let's say 13 wins. Let's say they win everything at home and go 4-5. Yeah, 13 wins. You got a chance to win this league.
Yeah.
You're not in the upper half. You're in the upper third, fourth. So, yeah. If they can protect their home court through this span, folks are in really good shape. Because that includes Kansas and Oklahoma. Who else? Someone else in there.
TCU at the end there.
Okay. Yep. I mean, they can protect their home court. Yeah. So, look, I'm going to be – when I give my reasonable expectation, I'm looking at they lose to Kansas. Let's just say it. Let's just say it, and they win the other two games, and they struggle on the road. I'm going to – if they come out of this stretch at 500 in the conference, I'm going to feel okay because I'm being realistic about this team.
Mm-hmm.
And if they come out above that, it's all gravy.
We'll get more
so back
in
up.
Yeah.
To back up the point about going 1-1, and if you can do that and just win one game this week, not only does that give you sort of just an advantage with everything that's there, but also in the standings, like Houston very well could be that number one team you're fighting. And so a win over them, you've got a potential upper hand. Same thing with Iowa State. I know that they're maybe not viewed in the same light as Houston, but I know ESPN's BPI ranks Iowa State as number two in the Big 12 right behind Houston. And so you just win one of these games, doesn't matter who it's against, but you potentially, just in the standings, could have a big advantage at the end of the regular season in March.
Agreed.
We'll get more into the conference at the end of this half, but we'll talk more about K-State here. From Bill Snyder Clydesdale, the turnovers should have completely derailed this team already, but they're hanging in there. How does that make them even better yet going forward? Or does it finally rear its ugly head before they get them under control?
I don't know how they're going to get it under control. They don't have natural ball handlers on the court. And when they do have it under control, they're a really good team. That's what's frustrating, and I hope they can figure out how to do it. Cam Carter's got to clean it up. He's just, honestly, at practice, he shouldn't be doing much other than ball handling drills up and down the court under pressure over and over and over, because they got to have him be better than what he is. We talked about in the insiders. You look at the last three games, 17 turnovers in their two home wins. And again, like you asked the question, how did they win those? Well, they won them because they didn't have 18, because that's what they had at Tech. They had 18 turnovers and they lost a game that was a one possession game. That's the fine line you're walking right now. But if they get it well under 17, this team's going to win a lot of games. They just are. That's the simple math of it. Jerome Tang knows it. He's talked about getting it to a dozen or fewer. And if this team does that, you're in for a wild ride.
So with Iowa State coming up, I mean, guys, they're 75th in the country with 10.9 turnovers committed a game. So that's, you know, an okay number. That's above average. Most teams would take that, but that's not anything crazy, but still a good number. But they force 11.4 steals a game. That's fourth in the country. And their overall turnover margin is plus 7.7. That is number one in the country. K-State, for reference, is negative at minus 1.7. And so K-State's obviously capable of winning a game like this, where you go up against a team that excels at something, right? Baylor was number one in the country at the time of that game, and K-State wins that one in overtime. So you can overcome that, but how much of that was just Baylor having an off night shooting the ball? Who knows? I'm sure there was some truth there somewhere in between. But K-State's going to have his hands full. Obviously, you've got to focus on your team. You know, Tyler Perry needs to be better at facilitating and playing as a point guard, or Cam Carter, whoever has the ball in their hands, just don't turn it over. Arthur Kaluma had five of those against Oklahoma State on Saturday, right? So K-State has to value the basketball. At the same time, though, the opponents that K-State's playing in the Big 12, I mean, it's going to be tough to not turn the ball over, and that's going to be especially true with Iowa State, with just how good that they are applying pressure and denying passes.
I think there's something to be said for playing the way K-State plays, though. They like to get a lot of possessions, and I don't have the advanced metrics in front of me. Ryan, I'm sure you would know better than I, but they like to play fast, right? They like to when they get the ball, they like to go and they like to run. And I would be curious at, you know, some of the advanced statistics that Jerome Tang and his staff have that indicate, do most of the turnovers happen, or do a higher portion of the turnovers happen when they are in the half court set or when they are getting out in transition? Because it feels like as of late, there hasn't been, you know, oh, the ball's not really moving around at the top of the key, so we're going to try and force it inside. The ball, you know, gets tipped off of the hand of Will McNair and out of bounds to the other team. It feels like Cam Carter gets a rebound. He pushes it down. There's maybe they have numbers, maybe they don't, but they're trying to go in and get some fast break points, and the ball gets stripped from them, and then the other team, you know, gets the ball back. It feels like that's where they commit a lot of turnovers, and I don't think they should stop playing like that. I just think they maybe have to find a way to refine the way they do that. You don't want to completely change the way you play. And if K-State can just find a way to turn it over in those specific situations, because turnovers are going to happen, but if you can find a way to limit those turnovers in transition, I think that's where we'll see the biggest difference, because the difference between a turnover in transition and points in transition can win you games. And so that's something that I'm going to watch. Do they turn the ball over when they're in transition, or do they finish at the rim and convert those points? That's definitely something to watch ahead of the game on Wednesday.
Yeah, Cole, I like how you mentioned don't change the way you play, right? Jerome Tang is always mentioning that you got to trust the work that you put in. Like David Gasson, for example, I know he was, and this is a different, you know, area of the game, but David Gasson was struggling in the non-conference, wasn't scoring much, and Jerome Tang was always preaching to us in the media settings, right, that they're trusting the work that he's putting in. They're trusting what they see in practice. Same thing could, you know, probably said for Tyler Perry's three-point shooting struggles at times this year. Trust the work that you put in and don't change the way that you play. And if Jerome Tang is, you know, Cole, like you mentioned it, don't change up things if you don't think it's necessary. If Tang is in the belief that this can be corrected without any major changes, then let it be, and, you know, things are going to work out. So I like that point you made.
Next question is from Momo Cat. Does it seem like K-State has a problem with playing to their level of competition, for good or bad?
Gills?
Was it on here on one of these podcasts where we said environment might be also true?
Yeah.
With the intensity of some of these atmospheres. And,
yep,
you know, Jerome Tang did mention that yesterday at his media availability, that his players love to play, you know, in a place like Hilton. You know, competitors love those types of environments. And so I don't know if I have a good answer to this. I'm not going to try to, you know, pull something out of my butt. I don't know. I mean, because K-State's played against some good teams, played against some bad teams, and you could look at different scores. I don't know if that's true, but I still would believe it's more environment-based than anything. That's just me.
Don't you want to play up to their competition right now? I mean, like, the Big 12 is so good. So I think that the days of playing down to competition are kind of behind this team. And so I think that you kind of want them to play up to their competition. You kind of want them to play at that level for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I think you can take what you saw in the non-conference, flush it down the toilet, throw it out, because that team has no bearing on what we're seeing right now. The issues that they have right now are self-contained, and the things they do good are pretty self-contained. And so, yeah, I really don't put a lot of stock into playing down or playing up. I think this is a good basketball team, and they play with a lot of energy, and they're going to have a chance to be in every single game that they play.
I get the question to a degree, because they just kind of, quote, played down to Oklahoma State. But I'm just going to say this. Oklahoma State is winless in the Big 12. They're not winless in any other power conference that I've watched. There's teams that they'll be beating. They're winless in this conference because it's so dang good. They're going to beat some teams in Stillwater. And that is a cautionary tale for Kansas State, because that's coming up. It bugs me that the return game is so close to the first game. I'd prefer that they like be first half and second half of the season, you know, clearly separated. Particularly when you're not playing everyone. Yeah, they're going to beat some people. But I do see what you're seeing. They certainly did that at times in the non-conference. They started to do that against Nebraska, and then decided, now we're going to play down to the competition of the youth teams that are in attendance. They have kind of done that. But I think now that you're in the Big 12, every game is amped. And sometimes you're going to spank someone. I mean, K-State did it to UCF. We've seen it. Home teams do that. But for the most part, these games are competitive no matter who you're playing.
I mean, I think, West Virginia, real quick, I'm sorry, West Virginia and UCF, K-State did not play down to that competition, right? K-State dominated those games. I think K-State won by like 18 points a game was the margin over those two. And then, you know, even recently against Baylor, guys, K-State won the game, but I don't believe K-State played up to that competition. That was a really ugly game. You mentioned the turnovers, Fitz. Like, you know, we have the recency. We remember the Oklahoma State game and how maybe ugly that was, but for as good as K-State played in that game against Baylor, they didn't play up to the competition, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I would.
See, what I was going to say is I think that, you know, them winning that game shows that they did play up to that. Maybe Baylor played a little bit down, but you go back to the environment saying that, you know, K-State can play up to the environment. I think that works at home. So a game like KU, a game like OU, you know, maybe BYU or TCU, those games, you know, when they come up, you know, I think when K-State's at home against a seemingly better opponent, I think they will, at the very least, play to the level that the other team is playing. The other team might be playing down, K-State might be up, but I think it works at home, but I think it's an inverse effect on the road. I think this team goes down on Fieldhouse, they probably lose by 10 or 15 points. You know, I think that's
the reality of, at least
that's the reality of just, you know, going to hostile environments on the road. And granted, you know, they might have a night here or there where, you know, they're in a good environment and they're able to hang out and play kind of like they did at Texas Tech, but I wouldn't call that, you know, terribly tough. You know, it was a different game, but yeah, I think it depends on where the game's at and who's playing.
Yep, I agree.
Last question from Papa Cat of the first half. You call this conference a beautiful mess. Let's say it continues to be a mess. How in the world does the NCAA selection committee figure it out if we can't?
Yeah. What would work against this conference, by the way, great question, Papa. What would work against this conference is like a six school pileup at like 6-12, 7-11. 7-11 can get you in the tournament some years. But if there's like six schools at that, and a few have floated up and a few have floated down, sorting out that middle is going to be challenging. But the good news is everyone's dragging everyone upwards in terms of any kind of computer rankings because you're playing each other over and over. You're only playing, you know, level one wins or whatever they're called. What can I think of?
Quad one wins.
Quad one. Thank you. Quad level. See, look, if I talk about pods and quads, I get scolded, but the NCAA just uses the quads. Nobody cares. Anyhow, it is a concern for those last schools in. Will there be a line in which we can say, okay, this decides who's really the better teams in this conference, and there's 10 schools at 7-11 or better, 11 schools at 7-11, and the rest stink? Then maybe it works out. But the question becomes how many they get in, and then what? How low in the conference win totals will the NCAA selection tournament, selection committee for the tournament go? And then that'll sort out. We won't know until the end of the year.
For a lack of a better term, Oklahoma State is the only punching bag so far in the conference. And the Big 12 probably needs they definitely need a second one, and they probably need a third if they're going to try getting 9 or 10 teams into the tournament. You cannot have your 12th and 13th seed
keep beating people.
You can't have them have 4 or 5 wins. They probably need to have 2 or 3. You know, there's going to be a lot of parity, unfortunately, and that's a testament to how tough this league is. But at a certain point, the committee has to draw the line and say, 7-11 was just not good enough because there's 11 other teams that are 8-10 or better.
Well, coming into this week, I'm not going to count the Kansas and Cincinnati game last night as we record this, but coming into the week, there were two teams that had 4 wins, one team that had no wins, 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that had 3 wins, and everybody else had 2. So a majority of your conference is either 3-2 or 2-3. We're 5 games in.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I don't know the last time that the Big 12 was this competitive and this balanced, but kind of sorting out some of those teams at the bottom, like you talked about, Zach, you would think Oklahoma State would be that team. You would probably like to say West Virginia would be that next team, but the way they play at home, they can beat anybody. Now, it's going to be a struggle for them to win any road game period in this conference. So I think maybe they'll end up being that team. And I think the other team that's maybe turning that way is Cincinnati. But again, they play all their games close. They were hanging around with KU, and they did not play very well last night. So it's just so hard to say. Because right now you have, I mean, Oklahoma State's a talented team. They're 8-10, but they're a lot better than what the record shows. So every night is literally a battle, and this is going to be a record year. I don't believe, like, K-State was the first team out of Lenardi's projections, which, how can a team be 4-1 and 14-4 in the best conference in America and be out of the NCAA tournament?
He doesn't know what he's doing.
To me, that makes no sense.
Nobody from the committee's told him what's going on yet, so he's not very accurate yet.
Not to defend Lenardi, but like K-State's resume at this very moment, I get them being on a bubble team. However, if K-State is even remotely close, if they stay on this trend that they're playing over the last five games, they're not going to be a bubble team at all, right? Like, I think both of those things maybe can be true to an extent. I think K-State, obviously, with its resume, should be in the field of 68, but to say they're a bubble team with what the resume for the entire season, when you look back at maybe how disappointing that USC loss was, because you guys look at USC now, that's not a good looking loss. Now, I get it. K-State, the whole focus on that game wasn't to win. You know, that's not Jerome Tang's focus early on in the year. But to defend Lenardi a little bit, I think it's the overall resume. But obviously, if K-State stays on this pace, they'll be just fine. But I want to give you guys a little hot take before we end up first half.
Wow.
Texas.
What a bonus.
Yeah. Can Texas be the worst team, guys? They are 3 points away from being winless in the Big 12 right now.
I'll
give them credit. Good teams find ways to win close games, but there's a fine line, as Mike Tomlin always says, from being a Pro Bowler to being a backup. And so, I mean, we'll see if Texas is for real or not.
Yeah, I feel like worrying about how the other team celebrates a victory isn't getting your team better to win.
I'd like to know the whole Roddy Terry, not the truth behind it, but I'd love to just be a fly on the wall in that locker room with what's going on, because I mean, if Texas doesn't make that, where they were the Elite Eight, Final Four last year, right?
They were
in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
If they don't go on that deep run, I think I was of the understanding that they're not going to bring him back. But since they went so far, you kind of had to. But it doesn't, from what I remember hearing, it didn't seem like he was necessarily our number one choice.
And counterpoint to me saying that there's only one punching bag right now, I don't think there's anybody on the opposite side that is, you know, a title winner right now. There is nobody out there. You look at KU every night. I think they can lose any night that they play. It is kind of exciting to watch KU basketball just because this might be one of the worst teams they've had in years.
Yep.
They might lose two out of their next three, guys. They play at Iowa State, home against Oklahoma State, and home versus Houston.
And so the days of live betting KU when they're down six and you get plus money, those days are over, you're telling me? Come on.
If you get plus money on KU at any time, maybe don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on anything in this conference. And I've given up sports betting, Gilbert. I'm not really giving up. I'm just on a pause, you know?
You know what they say?
Like our
friendship. Your next bet that you're about to place that, you know, plus 5 million parlay, that was going to be the winner. But since you quit, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to hit it.
That doesn't seem like sound advice. Zach, that wasn't sound advice.
No, please bet responsibly.
Bet responsibly. That's all. That's only the only guideline. That's it for the first half of the Power Cat podcast, the questions version, brought to you by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. On the other side, guess what? We got more questions from Wabash Station. I'm Fitz. Across the table from me are Zach and Cole. The guy in the corner is Gills, and we love him. We just don't want to be around him. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Please visit the Fridge Wholesale Liquor, located at the corner of Claflin and Westport Road in Manhattan, Kansas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Let's return to the Cats and Dogs studio.
And we're back with the second half of the Power Cat Questions podcast for this week. We're sponsored by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Make sure you go check out the Fridge whenever you're in town. And unfortunately, unless you're coming to town Saturday for the Kansas State women to play BYU, that's your only home game this week. Guys, I don't like this. The men are on the road for two. The women played last night at Baylor. Do we have any questions about the women?
No.
Okay,
amazing television broadcast in Waco.
Oh my god!
I turned it on after, so I didn't see anything.
They had so many technical issues.
It was so horrible. I haven't been that mad about a broadcast in a long time.
So, everyone who wants to complain about ESPN Plus, yes. That was not ESPN Plus. That was FS1. That was over the air, basically, not over the air, over cable broadcasting. But they probably were using the same people, equipment that an ESPN Plus would do. They're probably using the Baylor in-house stuff, just like they do quite often. But bringing their own announcers and maybe an own director or producer, whatever. But everything else is in-house. That didn't go well. Didn't go well at all.
I did like how they cut from the Seton Hall and whoever St. John's women's game that was going to overtime. They cut from that game and said, if you want to watch overtime, you can go to FS2. But if you want to watch a top 15 matchup between Baylor and K-State, you can stay right here on this channel. That's usually not how it works.
Yeah, well, first of all, it usually doesn't. Usually it's K-State getting dumped over. But yeah, that was kind of funny. Was that Missy Decker-Heidrich on the call of that game? I think she was.
No, she was not on the call. It was
the St. John's game.
Oh, on St. John's. I'm not sure.
I wasn't watching.
I know. I don't know. But anyhow, what a win by the women. A shout out to Jeff Mitty. That was an incredible coaching job. Every time he called a timeout, it seemed like he had something drawn up for his team to score. The play, I'm going to talk about this on my daily delivery. The play in which they came out isolated Gabby and she backed someone down and got the and one. That was straight off the bench. That was straight off being called. It was beautiful. And congratulations to the women. They keep rising in the rankings to number four. You got through your first two games without your All-American, and you won them both, including a road game against a ranked team. Well done. It's impressive.
Number two in the coaches' poll, by the way.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. It's really amazing what they're doing right now. Next up is your question from Wild West Station. Take it away.
From Call Me T22, throwbacks notwithstanding, what was the best basketball uniform era? He mentions the cat scratch era, the Spradling era with the side stripes, the Dean Cam and Barry era short panels. What should be the next standard home and road set, and what should they look like?
Now, Zach is not a fan of the Serpentine, which, you know, it's kind of played out a little bit. But if you guys look over your shoulder, the Beasley and Brown one behind you, I love that. Mostly because there's not a lot going on. I'm a clean uniform guy. I don't want a bunch of stripes. I don't want a bunch of stuff. You give me logos, numbers, colors. I'm not a big fan of what they got now with all the swooshes and stuff on the pants. Just give me some stripes. Just give me a traditional look. Maybe that goes with my age or my era, but I think basketball uniforms have gone through a really ugly phase. I mean, again, there's another shot up there. You can see it just beyond Zach's head of the Jacob Pullen. It looks like he's in all white, but he's got purple K-State and a purple number. It's badass. I love those uniforms. And I hope they continue to plug in these kind of throwback traditional things, but find a really sound, beautiful base uniform to keep in the future that will someday be seen as a throwback. Because none of these uniforms, from all the cat scratches and all that stuff, not another one of those is going to surface as some kind of throwback uniform. They're trash, just trash.
Here's the thing.
Yep, trash.
Oh, Zach, okay.
The cat scratch will come back as a throwback one day.
Maybe the cat scratch will come back in part of a throwback, but that uniform as a whole, no. I don't mind the cat scratch. Heck, I'm using it on some of our podcasts now. Mm-hmm. It's a good filler for
that era. Perfectly encapsulates K-State basketball, like the rebirth of K-State basketball. That's why they will go and make that again. I don't know if, like you said, I don't know if it'll be a full throwback, but I think
the cat scratch wasn't my problem.
After 25 years, which we're coming up on, 15, 16? It's beyond that. We're coming up on 20 years. I feel like a 20th anniversary throwback would be nice. But what I want to see is the Wildcat script become more of a base look and put Power Cat. Get rid of the old school Willie. I'm not going to call it what everybody calls it because it's stupid.
Because he's never done that.
Willie
doesn't do drugs.
We don't condone that on here.
But yeah, put Power Cats on him. You know, lavender trim, it's great, but just expand that look a little bit.
Well, you know what, Zach? On the way to Ames tomorrow or today, depending on when people are watching, listening to this, have Gills do some research on the NCAA uniform requirements.
You want to put me to work when I'm on the road car? Yeah.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
You muting him?
I muted him.
Okay.
Okay.
He wasn't gonna have an opinion about uniforms anyway. We know those are his favorite things.
Try to figure out if they got to have that number in a certain spot.
I looked this up a few weeks ago. Oh, it's got to be center. Like it's got to be. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. You can't have an offset or, you know, diagonal text down it with a number somewhere else.
Okay, so I had a brief conversation about this. I was in the hallway with basketball coaches, and they've got the logos up there. And I asked Coach Tang, "What's your favorite?" His favorite is Pennant Willie. And I ask him why, and he goes, "Because it says K-State, and when you say K-State, everyone knows it." And I shared with him our Google information that this is just a weird thing. You don't Google search, you don't, for Google purposes, you put in Kansas State. Nobody searches K-State, which I was baffled by. But he said what everyone else says when you're the state institution. Kansas, off camera, state. And he doesn't like that, and I'm with him. So maybe just smaller that says Kansas and state.
I mean, do it like the Oklahoma City Thunder do. Everything's above the number. West Virginia does it too. Everything's above the number. You can make it work. Yep, you can make two words work.
Yep.
My vote is if you go watch the women's basketball games, take those uniforms and make them in the style for men's and just use those, because what they have right now is beautiful. It's perfect. It works. And keep your alternates, but use those base uniforms as your base uniforms with the script. And it doesn't look like a throwback, but it's modern and it's clean, and I love it a lot.
What's the new uniforms they have, which I love? They're not black.
They're gray.
Anthracite. Thank you. I somehow knew you would be the person that would remember that color.
That's what Nike calls it.
Anthracite.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's probably...
It's a dark gray. I love it.
It's light black.
It is.
Light black is really what anthracite is.
Word cool. Is. It's very cool. It's cooler than Ryan Gilbert.
Ryan Gilbert is really cool. I'm going to unmute him.
He's unmuted.
Is he?
Yeah, he's unmuted.
No, he's not. He's just...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Okay. You've been unmuted for a long time. No. I'm just going to tell you you're muted because you apparently shut up.
Right? That's all you got to do. Man, I have no... Cole, you lived with me for like 2 years, right? You know how I feel about this this topic. Next. That's my answer. Gills, I just win the game, and I don't care what you're wearing. I really don't. As long as you're not wearing like what Baylor, like neon green or Oregon, or like have a blue turf like Boise State, I don't care. Just go out and win your games. I don't care what you're wearing.
That's Tom Asbury teal.
Tom has sure. Real team. Bring it back. Bring it back. Hey. Thank you, dude.
Yeah.
Always one per show. Got to get the shake in. I think they can do some really cool stuff. And Jerome Tang and the players want to do cool stuff with uniforms. They'll be much more conservative on the football side. It's been an interesting social experiment because someone did a mock-up of Deuce Vaughn in a purple pants and a lavender top and a lavender helmet. And honestly, the purple was too dark, but it was more like the purple of the basketball purple shorts. They're really dark. I thought it was pretty cool. But boy, I got one of the Facebook groups got a hold of that and it was 80% no. You do that on other platforms, it's 80% yes. The generational differences here is amazing. I don't really want lavender uniforms in football. I get that. But I wouldn't mind having lavender stripes, lavender accents. And if I hear one more person say lavender isn't a school color, I'm going to go on a murder spree, a small one. I don't know what constitutes a spree, but if that's like two, three, I don't know. It's going to be a small one. Folks, silver isn't a color, a school color. They wear it every football game and the helmets are silver. That's not a school color. In fact, officially the only school color, but white's in the fight zone. Doesn't matter. The only official school color is royal purple and white's in the fight zone. If that's all you want, great.
And they change the Pantone occasionally.
Yeah, they even change the color of purple.
Like it might be royal purple, but the Pantone switches every once in a while.
We have our own. We actually have our own purple at Go Pirate Cat. We don't use their purple because we don't think it shows up right on the internet. So that purple we use is a little bit brighter than the K-State purple.
So you're saying you would not do a basketball tribute one-off football uniform?
Well, that's, you got words?
No, my mind is blown thinking about that.
Yeah, it's a one-off. Lavender tops, purple pants,
here's
football,
what other people missed on basketball that, on that Facebook group. It's like, we need to stick with our uniform. Nobody's saying you wear these every game, folks. They're called alternates. You wear them like once a year or maybe once. You know, it's just how it works. You wear them once and you sell them at auction and you raise money.
To give those people the benefit of the doubt right now, though, K-State uses Old Willie. I'm not going to call it by what the fans call it. They have overused that way too much. They've gotten away from the Power Cat more than they should, in my opinion.
In basketball or overall?
Overall. I think that Willie Wildcat logo needs to go back to the vault for a little bit.
The Pennant Willie.
No.
The
Nose.
C Willie.
Nose Candy Willie. Yes.
We've been talking about uniforms for 10 minutes.
I think we need to get Austin Carpenter, who's on staff, who's in charge of uniforms. We need to get him on the show here. I mean, Kellis Robinette asked Jerome Tang about uniforms on Monday, and he told us he was colorblind and said, you guys need to interview Austin Carpenter. So maybe he can give us some insight and analysis on
Carp, call
on
me, man.
Uniforms.
Call me, Carp. Call me.
Next question is from Came to Elevate with the pending court case now forcing the NCAA to currently allow players to transfer more than once and immediately be eligible. Does K-State need to worry about a guy like Arthur Kaluma or others leaving at the end of this season for more NIL money than K-State can pay?
Well, no, he's going to the NBA. Seeing him develop his game a little bit here in Manhattan, and I watched his Creighton highlights, he was good. He's already ready for the NBA. This dude is an NBA player.
Mm-hmm. I'll jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
I was actually texting with an NBA scout just the other day, right about Kaluma. Yeah, what are the odds? But he said it was about a 50-50 shot that Kaluma goes NBA or stays for one more year. So I'll disagree with you on that, Fitz. I don't think it's a lock that he's gone after this year. But continue.
Interesting. I think he's ready. I think his game's more ready than Keontae. Once he stretches that 3-point shot out a little bit further, but
it's fair. It's fair.
Yeah, I don't see him going anywhere.
I don't think Art's worried about NIL. I think he's worried about NBA.
Yeah,
I mean that's what Tang always talks about, right? Like he always says, we're not worried about the guys who can, you know, who want to make the most money. We're worried about the guys who want to make the most money after college. And this is maybe a bad thing to say, but guys, when I watched Texas Tech play and I saw Joe Toussaint out there running around for Texas Tech, I just deep down, I'm like, I almost was kind of happy that he didn't end up choosing K-State, because, you know, if that's the kind of player that would have been in the locker room at K-State, the way he plays the game, I think would be very frustrating for a lot of fans. It'd be very frustrating for the coaching staff. And, you know, if a player is solely worried about how much money they can make in one final season, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, recruit as a freshman, it's completely different. What's your NIL value as a freshman? You have to weigh all your options. I totally get that. But for one final season, to me, I don't necessarily think that's the kind of person you want. And so if there is a player who wants to test their NIL value and hit the transfer portal, that person probably wasn't going to be a very successful player at K-State anyway.
He would not have been at K-State in the first place.
Right.
If he came here for NIL, he would not be at Kansas State University.
Yep. And I just want to point out to everyone that I know this transfer thing, so guys can transfer every year, gals too, sucks, but this is all court driven. And it's been the inability of the NCAA to come up with some guidelines, some, you know, barriers here to keep everyone in line. It's just been, they've gotten frustrated because they keep losing court cases because they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And then they just throw up their hand and say, well, we're not going to do anything then. So really it isn't the courts causing this. It's the NCAA not trying to find a way to work with the courts and coming up with solutions that are causing the NIL, the transfer portal, and this unlimited transfers. It's an awful mess, but it is the way it is, and just get used to it. I'm old enough to remember when free agency hit Major League Baseball. I knew every player on the Royals, every player stats on the Royals, because it was the same guys for 5 years. Some would retire, someone would get cut, someone would come up and be young, but it's the same core. There was no free agency. It was great for fans. It sucked for the guys on the field. And now free agency has made them all very wealthy, and it's going to increase the amount of money that college players can make through their NIL arrangements. But I also think they need to have some guidelines on what is NIL. And I don't know how the courts will view that, but they need to keep pushing and find a way to win some court cases. So basically this whole speech was, get your crap together, NCAA, do something.
For better or worse, I think that college sports fandom is very much now win this year and next year doesn't exist. I think you need to, essentially, even football, for the most part, I think, just the way the transfer portal is, you can go find guys. If you really wanted to, you could buy an entire roster for millions of dollars and compete for the playoff year in, year out. Like, that's just the reality right now. And there's going to be very few teams that are capable of doing that. And, you know, the other option is you got to recruit and develop really good out of high school. There's a balancing act here, but at the same time, if kids can leave after 1 year, if they're unhappy, and now what you're seeing with, you know, in football, you know, K-State players are going upwards. They're landing upwards in the transfer portal. What, you know, it's a new thing for K-State fans to kind of have this sense of worry about, you know, players going somewhere else because, you know, we're K-State, we don't have the NIL money. Like, you got to just accept each season for what it is, I think. And, you know, enjoy the guys that are here right now, and next year will come next year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the fandom has changed. And we saw that with football this year. You know, the fans were clamoring for Avery Johnson. Play Avery Johnson now or else he'll go elsewhere. Granted, that's a whole other argument. Avery is more than ready. Mm-hmm. He is a generational talent, and he's going to help you win football games for multiple years. But that's kind of my point is, now matters more than next year, and it always will be. I don't think there's going to be rebuilding years. Every year, you know, your rebuilding year is you have a bunch of new guys that you got out of the portal, and you're going to win now. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you can be worried about losing guys either to the NBA, the NFL, the transfer portal because of NIL. Like, it's just, you know, you are what you are, own what you are, but now you got to recognize that, you know, the now matters more than the future.
I think looking back in hindsight, you might look back at, oh, this was a rebuilding year because Kansas State won the Big 12 the following year. Like, in hindsight, you're going to have some of those seasons, but
yes,
in the moment, in the current, I agree, Zach. There's not going to be that that sort of rebuild that, you know, we're used to seeing in the past. There's just too many options out there available to go grab from the portal and stuff, that those rebuilding years in the moment are going to be really not a thing anymore.
Next question's from Itain Bibi. Moving to football. Will Howard start a game or most games or every game next season at Ohio State?
Well, barring injury, I think he'll start most. I mean, folks, this is this player coming in is a true freshman. So it is Avery all over again. But, I mean, I don't think they brought him in and paying him to sit on the bench. So unless he's bad. I'm going to be really blunt here. Will didn't like to be held accountable for his bad play. He played like crap at Oklahoma State and got mad because Avery saw playing time the next week. I mean, every quarterback is held accountable for their mistakes. And you get to a level where you've proven yourself enough where you can be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen and throw three picks in a game and you're not held accountable because they have a track record on you and know what you can do. Will didn't have that long track record. He had like a half a season last year and some of this season. And there was always a fear that he would go back. He would revert. I don't think he will, but the game at Oklahoma State made us all question that, including the coaches and his teammates in the locker room. If he avoids that, he's going to play. He's going to play incredibly well for Ohio State. He'll have better weapons around him. His team's just going to be better than everyone else. And that wasn't the case at K-State. They had to go out and win every game. They're in the Big Ten. Half the conference is absolute crap. They're going to win a lot of games. And he's going to rack up some stats. And the freshman might play. I can't even remember his name. I don't care what his name is. I don't care about Ohio State football. So the only thing I care about is Will Howard being successful because I like him. I think he's a good kid. I think he just gets too much in his emotions, whether it's celebrating on the field after beating Oklahoma State in Manhattan or taking the lumps after losing to Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Those were the two ends of the spectrum of Will Howard and his emotions. Great, loves. I mean, that was classic when he was being carried off the field against Oklahoma State. But he didn't understand why he was being held accountable for not playing well the next year at Oklahoma State. And that goes with the job, Will. It just goes with the job.
Fitz, would you say that the Kansas State media is generally pretty soft? I don't want to say soft. Pretty
understanding.
Understanding. Right. There's not a lot of. They're not going to come in and grill you and ask questions that everyone already knows the answer to.
Right.
Just to get a response.
They're not going to do gotcha questions.
Right.
Going to do that kind of thing. Yeah.
So you would agree that.
Yeah. Fairly. I would agree too. I know you didn't ask for my opinion, Cole.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. All right. I would also ask this to everyone. Colin Klein is not a screamer.
Nope.
Colin Klein is not a yeller. Colin Klein is not a cusser. Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
Okay. Well, Will had to deal with Avery. He had to deal with that quarterback controversy, and he had all of those other things, including the fan base, who I would also like to agree was fairly understanding as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did they want Avery to play? Sure, they did. But there was a lot of people that stood up for Will Howard. Ooh. Well,
I would say a lot less than what you're saying or implying.
Well, what I'm going to imply is that he goes to Ohio State and literally everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
You go from Colin Klein, who doesn't say anything, to Bill O'Brien, who is notorious for cussing out every single player.
Yep.
You go from the Kansas State fan base, who you thought they were bad. Go look at Ohio State Twitter. Go look at Ohio State Twitter. You tell me. On top of that, you have, I don't know how much more media covers Ohio State than we do, but I would imagine a lot more media members cover Ohio State than that cover K-State. And so everything is being amplified. And Will was under pressure a lot here at K-State, and I get that.
It's quarterback.
And maybe going to Ohio State, he doesn't have to worry as much. But I have this fear deep down that because he's going there and because he understands all these things are lined up, if he starts to play bad, it just might all come crashing down. And I hope it doesn't, because I want Will to be successful. So, you know, that's just kind of my take on it. You're going from one end of the spectrum. If you couldn't handle it, how are you going to be able to handle it on the complete opposite end of the spectrum? Mm-hmm. And maybe he can. I think there's a chance he can, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult.
And I don't know what Ohio State's schedule is going to be next year, but in years past, Ohio State has definitely had, you know, an upward, you know, the slope go, it gets harder as you go. Right. You're going up towards that Michigan game every year. And there's a lot more building steps. I don't know if, you know, Will Howard had that in the Big 12 at K-State. You were playing OU that second, maybe even first game of the year, having to, you know, go from non-con straight into the grind. There wasn't a day off in the Big 12. And I think that probably will make him a little bit better of a quarterback in the Big 10 at Ohio State. But at the same time, he's not going to have to deal with that either. I don't know who's on their schedule, but I'm going to name off the Indianas, the Illinois, the Purdues. You know, there's a lot, the Northwesterns of the world. There are a lot of bad football teams that Ohio State gets to play every year before they get to play Michigan. And that changes. They've got Washington and Oregon and USC and UCLA in the conference now. Yeah, that's going to change. But it's, you know, it's this one season that Ohio State has with Will Howard. I think it's going to be a little bit different and, you know, it'll be manageable for him.
Okay, I pulled it up. And I'm going to be honest here. The Big Ten added 3 out of 4 more competitive football programs than exist throughout their conference, at least right now. Nebraska was good when they went in the conference, but they fell apart. USC, Oregon, Washington boost everyone's schedules. So how you fall on that, it kind of is how you fall on the schedule of the strength of schedule. Here's Ohio State. Really, they amped up their non-conference schedule. Come on. You're a Power 5 powerhouse program. Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall. Do better than that.
That's horrible.
Hey, those are some regional teams.
They really did.
Those are some bus rides that they have to pay for. They don't have to pay for flights.
They're going to go to Michigan State, win. Go to Iowa. Well, I don't know. It'll be 10-7. I don't know who wins. Hold on. They don't go to – no, excuse me. That's in –
it's in Columbus.
In Columbus. They play Oregon, in Eugene. They then play Nebraska at home. Ohio State's at home. They go to Penn State. Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana. There's the gauntlet. Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana. You don't get that in the Big 12. There's no three teams you can string together, even in this expanded conference.
And those are all road games, right?
Except for Purdue.
Yeah. Okay. No, hold on. No, sorry.
And Indiana's at home.
Yeah. The only one on the road is Northwestern. In the
middle. Oh, okay.
Then they've got Michigan coming in to finish the season. I'm sorry. They've got 6 wins at the start and towards the end of the season right there. You're bowl eligible even if you're not a good football team. That's just I'll accept that if it's Indiana. I'll accept that if it's anybody but Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue in what is now the Big Ten, not the new schools. I'll accept that. You're trying to build. You're Ohio State. You're Ohio State. Put one Power 5 non-conference game on that schedule, please. Oh, they moved the schedule. I don't care. You're Ohio State. You call someone up, say, hey, you want to play one in Chicago? Yeah. We'll delay the Arizona game. Kansas State's on the way.
No. I want to play Arizona now.
Not too far. Right? I take it all back. But, yeah, look, that's exactly it. Come on. That was a long one.
Last question of the podcast from Lavender Crew. I believe he's new.
That's a good name.
Lavender Crew. Welcome, Lavender Crew. With the departure of veterans like Phillip Brooks and Seth Porter, it seems like the Cats could struggle again with special teams. What do they need to do to return to form this year?
They need to stay healthy. They need to return to the roots of mixing in frontline players more. You got to do it. You just got to do it. I mean, or just, you know, roll with the young guys. Say you own this. None of you are redshirting. You all own this. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, they did that in the bowl game because anyone could play in the bowl game. I love that rule change by the NCAA. This doesn't count towards your eligibility unless you're redshirting. I mean, like a traditional redshirt. You know, you can't play any games if you're like a certain redshirt.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Can't play any games. But if you're a 4-game redshirt, it doesn't count. Yeah. I love that. And most of the guys on special teams were a lot of young guys.
And they did really good, by the
way. Ty Bowman had an incredible play.
And they should have had a return for a punt return that got called back on a horrible block in the back call. So yeah, I'm with you.
Just that's another thing the NCAA needs to address, is they need to get more uniform on how they're calling these things.
Yeah.
Because if your helmet's on someone's side or in front, you're not blocking in the back. And why an official doesn't know that is beyond me. And why they didn't huddle up and say, no, that guy's helmet wasn't in back. He was on the side. Just amazing.
They were too busy looking at
it. If there's going to be video replay for anything, any sort of foul, I feel like that should be. It should be. If there's a scoring play like that.
That's a very valid point.
If you are calling a penalty on a scoring play, go back and make sure that it really was a block in the back or a hold. Mm-hmm. Like, soccer gets it right now, or mostly right, doing VAR. On scoring plays, you know, if there was a foul, you know, by the goal scorer or whatever, they'll call off the goal.
In fairness, that only happens once every couple of weeks.
It's okay.
They do that in basketball too. Think about what happened with Bissan's three-pointer. They said, "Oh no, you got fouled before he shot it."
Yeah, that's
terrible. That was different. They did call that on the floor.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Didn't they review it?
They
reviewed it.
So what happened
they
was
at it, yeah. they reviewed
what
it.
Happened was they call the he shot it. The ref called the foul, but he said shots away. Mm-hmm. And then they did go back to go look to confirm that it was or wasn't. But they did call it that he got it off, and it was separately.
So
but
here's
they
my,
did go back and look.
This is I'm sorry about this getting off the question now, because this is my problem with how they rule that. And they ruled it properly. They got that call right by the rule book. I think the rule book needs to be altered. I think in cases like that, they're treating the whistle like the end of the game buzzer. It's got to be off your hands.
Yes.
It's a foul. It should be like any other foul on a shot. The foul can occur, but if you're in the shooting motion, it should count. I mean, I don't know why they say, okay, on every other foul, there is the shooting motion continues. But on these fouls, no. That doesn't make sense to me. But they got it right. They did get it right by the rule book.
We went from David Gasson three-pointers, or we went from K-State football special teams to David Gasson three-pointers. You're welcome.
With all due respect, back to the question, with all due respect to Phillip Brooks and Seth Porter, losing them this year, I don't think it matters. This was by far the worst special teams year
for
Seth, two though? Decades.
Yeah.
Yes. Even without Seth, yes, would have been worse. But, you know, I think it's good that you get to see some new options, some new weapons. You know, new guys that are going to go out there and prove themselves on special teams. It's exciting because, you know, K-State's had this long tradition of, you know, that's what they're about, and it's time to return to that. And you're going to see, you know, whoever goes out there, they're going to give it their best.
So, Ty Bowman is up next, by the way. He's the next
guy to own special teams. Yep. I love it. It's a great K-State tradition. Goes back.
The answer to this question, guys, is focus on it. Practice it. Put an emphasis on it. K-State takes pride in being special teams you, right? Seth Porter, and you mentioned it, Phillip Brooks, these guys are very replaceable throughout the years. K-State, I mean, that's you know, how many walk-ons were on special teams, right? It's not about the talent or the guy there. It's about the effort that you put into it. And so as long as K-State continues to work on it more than any other team in the Big 12, which I'd bet you money they do, if you work on it more than anybody else, then you're going to be just fine regardless of which players you may have lost from the previous year.
And I'd like to really see them dig into their depth and try to find someone that maybe doesn't play that much, but might be a great kickoff returner or a punt returner. You know, someone that maybe it's a backup defensive back that can run like, you know what. And if he can catch the ball cleanly on a regular basis, like DJ Reed did, there's your guy. Then when the offense goes out, your kick returner just goes to the sideline. So, yeah, they got to get better at special teams, period, end of story. They just do. They, you know, the place kicking's got to get solidified, and I think it will. Punting, the whole thing. I want better special teams, and it makes a difference for Kansas State in winning and losing. No other way to look at
Agreed.
It. That's it for this week's PowerCat podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you watched on YouTube. I kind of like this setup. Welcome back, Cole. It's good to have you. Yeah. Snow days are good days if you're a teacher. It's not just if you're a kid. It's good. The boys got to leave for Ames here in the morning. We're going to put this up as soon as possible, and I'm going to go take a nap. That's the end of the podcast.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.